St. Monica, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, next Sunday is Mother's Day, the traditional day of our procession and May crowning for our Blessed Mother, and also a day to give a card, more than a card, our sincere thanks and love and our prayers to our own mothers here upon earth, who represent to us very beautifully the love and the care that our Blessed Mother has over all of us. Yesterday and today, both we have in the church, wonderful examples of mothers. Saint Constantine's mother, Saint Helena, yesterday found the Holy Cross of Christ. And today, we have Saint Monica. In her life, she found many, many crosses. But because she was so holy, she was always able to turn these crosses, even though sometimes they were very wicked and mean, into something holy, too. Let's look a little bit at St. Monica today, a wonderful example to us. Now, children, there's a very modern word that's used in a sort of a modern, bad, or trendy way, and the word is abuse. To abuse something or someone is to use it in a bad way, not the way that God intended that it should be used, but in a bad way. Now, St. Monica is a good example of the right way to conquer those who are abusive or bad abuses. For example, when she was a girl, she grew up as a Christian. She had the great, good Christian parents. Well, it was her job, as setting the table, getting ready for dinner at night, to go downstairs to the wine cellar and to draw a pitcher of wine from the great vat of wine. Well, one day she decided just on her own, the children would sometimes be curious, to taste a little bit of the wine because she thought, well, no one would know, and even though she wasn't allowed to do that, she did that on her own, and she liked the taste of the wine. And pretty soon she had a little sort of a pre-pandial cocktail hour all by herself downstairs in the wine cellar. One day the nurse or the nanny who was in charge of the children of her family could tell that she had had something to drink, and indeed too much to drink, and here she was only a child, and she accused her in front of her parents and family members of what she had done, and St. Monica was very upset and reduced to tears, but it was truth, and she learned her lesson, that she was abusing God's gift of wine. Back then, the children were allowed to have a little wine with their meal that was water. There was use of water into the glass, too. And so when she never drank again after that. And when she had children of her own, St. Monica would never allow her children to drink between meals because she wanted them to have a strong sense of self-discipline and self-control. Even though they lived in Africa where it got very hot during the day, she always wanted them to have, and that was part of the character of our saint. Now, even though her parents were Christians, unfortunately, they arranged for her to have a marriage with a pagan, which was a very foolish thing for them to do. But in God's plan, the foolishness of men sometimes leads to the wisdom of God being seen. And so she was married to a certain Patricius, who was a pagan, and he was a drinker too. And we would say today he was someone who was abusive. He would lose his temper and not be faithful and all sorts of terrible things. And then to boot, as though that weren't bad enough, the mother-in-law moved in with them, and she was a fine piece of work. She was a real pagan, and she was always sticking up for her son. And what did St. Monica do? She never lost her temper. She never cried or complained to people. She never sat back or was disrespectful or angry or pouting or anything. She was quiet, dignified. She did her duty. And when she was assaulted or attacked, she never said a word. She smiled. She was kind. And in the meantime, she prayed day and night, even as she fulfilled her duty, for the conversion of her husband and her mother-in-law. And by God's grace, in due time, by the example of this saintly woman who had conquered herself when she was still just a girl, who just did her duty in a kindly, strong fashion and prayed all the time, they were converted. Her mother-in-law was baptized. She died a Christian. Patricius, about a year before he died, he gave up drinking and he was baptized and he became a good Christian husband. Then she had to turn her attention, last of all, to one of her three children who had gone astray, and that's how she's best known, and that was Augustine. Now, Augustine, according to the bad custom of the day, had not been baptized. Sometimes there's bad ideas that are not really good ideas at all. People say it's out of reverence to the sacrament, but they withhold sacraments from children is not a good idea, because we can't do it by ourselves, you see, children. We have to have God's sanctifying grace. That's how St. Monica could do so much. The strength of her baptism and communion and confession. That's why little children need to receive their sacraments frequently and early. And that is why, too, the church baptizes little babies based on the faith of their parents who present them. We can't do it by ourselves. Well, St. Monica, unfortunately, did not have her children baptized when they were babies because that was the rule or the custom of the day. The church later on changed that. And so Augustine was only a catechumen. He was a catechism student. He was extremely intelligent, very bright, got scholarships everywhere, inquisitive mind, wanted to know this, that, and the other thing. And pretty soon he was in a real muddle. He was in a mess because he had no way to get rid of his original sin or his actual sin. And I'm afraid that he went astray and he followed a popular heresy of the day called Manichaeism, which believed there were two gods, a good God that made spiritual things and a bad God who made material things, and it was all very messy. In the meantime, he was a popular teacher, and he went to his head, and he was given to partying and to sins against holy purity and holy marriage. He was leading kind of a bad life, and his mother never gave up on him. She prayed, she would talk to him, she would cry and weep and beseech God, and she would sort of follow after him, never giving him too much rest from his sins, because she would not stop until he got converted. One time he even gave her the slip, because he was going to go from northern Africa in Carthage up to Rome for a job. The empire was going to offer him a teaching job. And he lied to his mother, "Well, I'm leaving at such and such a time and from this pier," he said, when actually it was something quite different because he just wanted to get away from her. But she never gave up on him. She followed him all the way up to Milan in Italy. And there, when she finally caught up with him again, she rediscovered that he was starting to give up his false beliefs, and he had already changed his sinful life to a certain degree. But he wasn't quite yet a Catholic. He was listening, though, to the sermons of the bishop, St. Ambrose, in church every Sunday. And when he explained what was wrong with the Manichaean heresy, he started to receive the grace of conversion. And that was mostly due to the prayers of his mother. She never gave up on him. So finally, one day at Easter, she had the great grace to see her son baptized and converted. And she died before he became this great teacher and doctor of the church, St. Augustine, the doctor of grace. But she was content. She had done her duty all the way through. St. Monica teaches us, children, that when we have to deal with people who are mean or abusive, or the abuse of certain things that God has given us that people use in a wrong way, we must remember the peas in the pod. What are they? Prayer, first and foremost. Prayer, God's help. And then patience. Be patient. Nothing will happen in a day. It took her years to get Monica to get Augustine back to where he belonged, a Christian. And same thing with the other family members. Patience, perseverance, and finally, probably, prudence. Sometimes, just don't say anything. Don't complain. Don't make a fuss. You just do your duty and smile. You'd be surprised at the effect that can have on people. And we offer it all up to our Lord. In his good time, he takes care of all of these things. I think St. Monica has something to give to each one of us today, don't you? Let's pray to her now very fervently as we sing the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass in her honor. First of all, let's say a little prayer in her honor. If you kneel down, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Good Jesus, model of patience, let me follow thee on the way of thy holy cross. To the intercession of St. Monica, I beseech thee to strengthen me in prayer and patience and prudence, that I may never become impatient or discouraged. Amen. St. Monica, whose prayers won Augustine from sin, pray for us. St. Monica, pattern for wives, model of mothers, and mother of saints, pray for us. Our Lady of Consolation, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.